Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We are going to just pick up where we left off last program. Talking about tithing, giving, and the scriptures. And we had talked about setting some basics, specifically the difference between tithing as a verb and tithing as a noun. And right off the bat, as we start talking about what the scriptures actually say about tithing, we will start to see how crucial it is to understand the difference in application and context. Again, we're starting with the premise that the scriptures are very clear about the whole concept of tithing, who should do it, when, and how. And we will find out that those people are not us. That the tithing regulations are part of the law, and we are not under the law. And we're going to get very specific about that. And if that is bothersome to you, that's all the more reason to listen. So now you are free to tithe. But the thing is you are also free not to tithe. But hopefully, the more you understand the purpose of God's law and the purpose of the ministry of Christ here on this earth, which was to fulfill the law, the more you will see that we are free from the law. We have in him fulfilled the law. So we're just going to dive right in. And just as a reminder, I'm going to be reading the scriptures that I'm going to be referring to from the New King James Version. If you want to follow along, fine. Otherwise, hopefully you'll just get the gist of what we're saying. Again, to understand that we are talking about specifically what the scriptures say about tithing, not what a denomination says or a doctrine or even opinion or history, but what the scriptures say. And we had talked about that there are different time frames recorded in the Bible in reference to the law. And we're going to start with before the law was written down, or pre-codification of the law, before the law was written down. So we're going to start talking about Abram. Not Abraham, but Abram, before his name was changed. And the first reference to tithing is in Genesis 14, and we're going to read 17 to 20. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he gave him tithes of all. So that's the quote. That's Genesis. That's where we start talking about tithing. And obviously the reference to Melchizedek is crucial, and we could go on talking about that quote and that reference, but we're going to stick to talking about the topic at hand, which is tithing. But here we see that the phrase, and he gave him tithes of all. Abram gave a tithe, or one-tenth, of everything he had to Melchizedek, king of Salem. So if after this battle, Abram had ended up with 600 sheep, 450 cows, 316 goats, and 800 pieces of silver, Abram gave Melchizedek 60 sheep, 45 cows, 31.6 goats, and 80 pieces of silver. Giving is the verb. Tithe is a quantity. Now, for illustration's sake, let's say instead of giving him a tithe, he gave him a half. What if it said, and he gave him half of all? Or quarter of all? That's all we're talking about. A tithe is simply the equivalent word to one-tenth. So, who commanded or told Abram to give anything to Melchizedek? As far as we know in the scripture, nobody. Nobody told Abram to give anything to Melchizedek. How many times did Abram give a tithe, or give a, again, if we use other amounts, a quarter or a half, how many times did Abram give a tithe to Melchizedek? Again, as far as we know, this was a one-time deal. Why did he do it? To bless the Most High God. This was Abram's grateful response to the Lord blessing him, not as a part of a covenant relationship or to fulfill a commandment to incur blessing or to prevent negative consequences. Abram had already won the battle. He had already received the blessing from Melchizedek. Abram was on his way home. It was finished. It was done. And he gave a tenth of what he had to bless the Most High God, to say thank you for what you have already done. Abram did not, in this example, Abram did not tithe. In this example, Abram gave. So the second example of the word being used, the word tithe being used, before the law was written down, is the example of Jacob. And these are really important examples because as we start understanding where we get our beliefs, hopefully as we look at more detailed examples, we'll start to see, you know, where maybe we have gone off the track. So in Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22, we're going to look at the example of Jacob. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. because the sun was set. And he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I may come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. In Genesis 28:22, the same word used above as tithe is translated as tenth. In response to the promises of the Lord, Jacob makes up his own covenant. Even though God never asked for it, Jacob says that if God will take care of him and bless him, he will, when he has arrived safely home again, give him a tenth of everything he has. God didn't say, give me a tenth of all that you have. God made promises to him that were unconditional. God told him what he was going to do. It was Jacob who said, if he does this, I will then give him a tenth. This reveals much more the difficulty that Jacob had in receiving unconditionally from God, rather than a reflection of God's heart and intentions toward him. Also, it reflects the habit of the people of that time, that giving and sacrificing to their gods, giving the 10%, was a normal thing to do. God never told Jacob to do anything. Nonetheless, Jacob made a vow that at some point in time, Jacob would give a tenth of everything God blessed him with back to God. Now, we have no record. There's no place in the scripture. Does it say that Jacob carried out his vow? We have no place where it says that he gave any part, any tenth, any tithe to God, even though God certainly blessed him as he had said. So these are the two examples we have, and they're pivotal. Because again, it starts setting the whole difference between a verb and a noun, where in both of these examples, it's a noun, not a verb. It's a tenth. And in the first example of Genesis 14, the word is translated as tithe. In Genesis 28, just down in Genesis, that same word is translated as tenth. Same word. So those are the two examples we have of this word before the law is written down. And here's what we've learned. In both of these instances, God never commanded anyone to tithe. He didn't command anyone to give either. There was no covenant. Later, God did indeed make a covenant with Abram. In fact, God made many promises to Abram and to his successive generations. All Abram had to do was circumcise his sons. Second, the law had yet to be written down. Now, this is significant because it means that neither Abram nor Jacob were following guidelines that were previously given by God. There was no law. There was no habit under God. There was no instructions that were being followed. These events were outside or before the law was given. These were two encounters, Abram and Jacob encountering God, and their impulse is to give back to God. Isn't it interesting that there's something within us that when we are blessed or honored or recognized, there's something in, at least most of us, and a way to express our appreciation for that. We want to give back. We want to say thank you. We feel humbled. And that's really all that was being expressed in these situations. Finally, neither Abram nor Jacob tithed. Two situations, there was no tithing. Abram gave freely. And Jacob promised to give if God did what he had already unconditionally promised to do. Also, look that there were no consequences tied to either one of them not giving. Neither one of them are told to give, and neither one of them had consequences hanging over their head if they didn't. It's especially striking to Jacob. God says, I'm going to do all these things for you. And Jacob has to make it into an agreement. Well, if you do it, then I will do this. He had a hard time just accepting that God was going to do something for him, unconditionally. And that challenge also is involved in our problems, our hesitancy to just accept God's blessings, God's presence, God's gifts unconditionally. We feel like we have to earn them, earn it, or in somehow have an arrangement with God rather than just saying thank you. And we'll get through that, into that more as we move forward. So let's start looking at the codified law. And when we say codified, again, we're just talking about written down. And written down in any variety, even if it's just, you know, an oral tradition, or if it is written down in stone or on papyrus or whatever. Just this is, here's some instructions that are being passed down. Now, for our purposes, when we talk about the codified law, we're going to start with specifically the written law of Moses. These were instructions to God's people that were written down so they could be followed consistently as part of the covenant between God and his people. So, again, we're just tracing tithing. We're not going to get too distracted by talking about the law, but understanding that there are different ways God interacts with his people. And here he's writing down a law, establishing a covenant, and then relating to his people according to that covenant. So we're going to start with looking at Leviticus 27, 30 through 34, where tithing is instituted as part of that covenant. Again, Leviticus 27, 30 through 34. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. If a man redeems any of his tithe, he must add a fifth of the value to it. The entire tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod, will be holy to the Lord. He must not pick out the good from the bad or make any substitution. If he does make a substitution, both the animal and its substitute become holy and cannot be redeemed. These are the commands the Lord gave Moses on Mount Sinai for the Israelites. Now, one way to test whether we're talking about the word tithe as being one-tenth or a verb to tithe is to simply substitute another measurement for tithe, for the word tithe. So if you can substitute half for the word tithe, then we're talking about the number. If that doesn't work in the sentence, we're looking at the verb. So if you start out the sentence, and instead of saying a tithe of everything from the land, if you say a half of everything from the land, from the very beginning you start seeing, okay, where the confusion can come, that it's over the word itself. So under the law, in this example, one-tenth of everything from the land, plant or animal, was considered holy and belonged to God. This portion could be redeemed, but a fifth part of the value had to be added. There could be no substitutions or alterations. You couldn't switch one cow for another, for instance. If you tried and someone found out, both would be considered part of the tithe. Now, how this happened is, and this is a, shows other examples throughout the scriptures, is there would be a leader or a when they go take the animals to market, that you wouldn't be able to mark your own cows or sheep or baskets of harvest. Somebody else, they would pass under a rod, and as they passed under the rod, they were counted. And you didn't pass them under, and you didn't hold the rod. Somebody else picked them for you. Every, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they'd pull the 10th one out. And if that was your favorite cow, you just had to live with that. You didn't have any control over that. So now, it wasn't until Numbers 18, which we're going to get right into, that further instruction was given in regard to implementing taking of the tithe. In other words, what to do with the cows and the grain that was separated under Leviticus. So in Numbers 18, 19 through 28, we learn that the tithe goes to the Levites. And when we start looking at all the details, and we're going to start going through all the different, in fact, let me just read the different categories of how the tithe, the concept of a tenth being taken from the people and given to God in one way, shape, or form, this is intertwined throughout the written law. It, in Numbers, the tithe goes to the Levites. In Deuteronomy, there's a tithe of the feasts. And also in Deuteronomy, the tithe is for the priesthood and the poor. Then later in Deuteronomy, there is a triannual. Every 3 years, there's a tithe and declaration of fulfillment of the law. And what we see is that it is a way of implementing the covenant. The tithe is the way that God achieved certain of his goals through the law on behalf of his people. It was not a way of burdening his people. It was not meant to be a marker of relationship. It was much more in regards to taking care of certain aspects of his people, of these wandering nomads. So again, what we will find out is there are situations and circumstances that the purpose of the law and the purpose of the tithe was to form that structure to solidify a community, to bring people together in agreement on this is how we are going to live our lives. Now, there's going to be times when that breaks down, and there's going to be times when reinstituting that concept will bring the people back together. But the purpose of that is not because the tithe is so important, giving a tenth. Process of doing that brings unity to a group, and it reinforces the notion that the people are going to live according to the law that was given by God and not by the power of a man, whoever happens to be in charge at that time. So that's kind of what we're going to see as we move through this. But this is where we're going to start seeing that the tithe concept and the giving of the tenth is tightly woven through the different aspects of how the law is used, not only as it's when it's given, but throughout the history of the Israelites. So thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions about what we've already discussed, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. Otherwise, we're going to continue on in Numbers 18, 19 through 28 next week. Until then, have a great weekend. This is Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.